welcome to the 19th episode of the Reddix Copycast. I'm Fiona Campbell-Howes, Reddix's Managing Director and Lead Copywriter. And with me today is Emily King, Reddix's Research and Marketing Executive.
Hello.
So in this episode, we're going to be discussing a topic which is quite close to our hearts, you and me, Emily,
yeah.
Which is the uses or potential uses of comic strips and comic books in B2B and how B2B marketers can start producing their own comics. So comics aren't something that we've seen used a lot in B2B up until now, although we have recently been starting to see a little bit more use of them. We've recently produced our own ebook, so we did our research for that. And so we've noticed brands like Marketo and Sage and Google, Moz, MailChimp, all of these kind of experimenting with comic book formats or comic strip formats. And we're also seeing some other interesting kind of uses of comic style formats coming up, like scribing at events. So this is where at a presentation or a seminar, you have an illustrator there drawing the visual representation of what's being said, which often comes out in a sort of cartoony comic book format. I've personally seen quite a lot more use of comic strips on platforms like LinkedIn, where you can now sort of post memes and images. And because LinkedIn's very businessy, a lot of these comic strips, or they're really just sort of one-frame cartoons, have got a kind of B2B business focus. So we're seeing quite a lot more of it happening. So Emily, you're a kind of resident comics expert, which is why I'm kind of in the driving seat asking the questions this time, and we're going to be talking to you about the use of comics in B2B and how people can make use of it. So I think, you know, one of the reasons we haven't seen comics used so much so far is that there's this kind of residual view that they're something for kids and they're not really suitable for adults. So what would you say to that?
Well, I suppose that in part that's the fault of the people that created the comics code in the US in the 50s, where everyone suddenly got really scared about the comic books that were available because, oh, they just happened to have adult material in them, and they assumed they were all for kids, even though there was a great many of adults sort of reading them. And so that kind of banned the sale in a lot of places of, like, well, not adult comics, we're talking just comics with mature themes. And that image is stuck for quite a while. I mean, it wasn't until the early 2000s that the last of the big publishers in the US abandoned being signed up to the Comics Code Authority and all that. And that has impacted comics, I would say, sort of over here quite a bit. Not so much in, like, continental Europe, because they've been quite fond of, like, doing satirical comics for quite a while, and also importing a lot of stuff from Japan. Basically, what happened in the 50s, we're still feeling the effects of that, and it's only because of the increasing popularity of comics being adapted for Hollywood that people begin to think, maybe they're not for kids. I mean, for instance, as we're recording this, Sin City 2 has been released in the past few weeks, which is based on the comics of Frank Miller, was written by him and Robert Rodriguez, and it was rated 18. Very much not child-friendly subject matter. Even in the actual comics, you would not let kids read comics like that.
Yeah.
So to assume that comics are for kids, and I mean, Miller started writing Sin City more than 10, 15 years ago as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned kind of Hollywood films as well, because, you know, we've seen, one of our clients is Oracle, and we've seen Oracle have quite a close tie-up with Marvel and have product placement in the Iron Man films. And that's been a really successful marketing tactic for them, I think. So, you know, gradually, I think, you know, people are coming around to realise it's not just for kids. And it also is something that B2B brands can use in their marketing efforts. But, you know, not everybody is comics literate and not everybody is a comics geek. So do you think there's a little bit of re-education needed? Do people need to know how to read a comic properly?
I suppose in a way there is, because it's not something you're used to. And as soon as you go beyond having something that's like a couple of panels, almost like Sunday papers sort of comic strip, where you've just got a single line of panels going from left to right. I mean, normally you would, if it's a Western comic, you'd read it left to right. But as soon as there's only panels beneath it, it's like, oh, do I go to the panels beneath first and kind of snake my way through it? And it's like, it's still left to right, go down to the next row, left to right. And it's whichever's like nearest to that sort of like left position is where you start. It gets a bit more interesting, though, if you have something like what's known as a splash panel page, where it's a single piece of art that might have other smaller panels sort of like stuck in places. And again, you've got to kind of look for the one that's like nearest that left position and kind of just circle around left to right through the sort of like splash page. And if, and not to get too crazy, but if you read Japanese manga, and it's kept its original formatting, which a lot of it has, because a lot of people got really peeved when they used to actually fully translate it over to the European and American markets, where they kind of made it go from being right to left to left to right. So manga, most of the time you'd read it right to left, but hopefully most B2B clients won't, that we're dealing with, won't be doing manga.
I was going to say that's probably a bit of an advanced place to start.
Unless they want to sell to a Japanese market, in which case, you know, maybe they do.
So, you know, we're not seeing many B2B brands using kind of Japanese manga styles, but what kind of styles and formats are we seeing B2B brands using?
A lot of it's online. There's no doubt about it, probably because, well, you don't want to go publishing comics physically because it costs, that's a lot of ink. But it's not, we're not talking like something that's like pages upon pages upon pages. We're talking about sort of like what we call a couple of panels. So like you, and a panel is essentially like a square or a rectangle. It's just a single box that has a moment of story happen in it. And we've seen obviously like single panels where it's just like one quick grab a moment. And that's actually in a way a lot of what satirical cartoons and newspapers are. And then you would have maybe some people that kind of go more the like the Dilbert route or XKCD, you know, where you've got a couple of panels following after each other, maybe like three or more. And again, that is that obviously in those cases it is online. Or you get people that might do what would look like, if you printed it, it would look like a single page, but they place it out, like they don't release it all in one go, they release it over weeks and stuff, which is what MailChimp have previously done, Sage, a couple of others. The only one I've seen where they've kind of gone for like a full comic in one go was that Scott McCloud Google Chrome explanation comic.
Which got a lot of really good attention and feedback, actually. So so I think that was a really good experiment by Google. So one of the reasons we're seeing brands experimenting more with comics is generally because of this move to more kind of visual marketing. So, you know, the old style B2B marketing was just big chunks of text on a page. And now people are exploring much more what they can do with more visual formats, of which comics are one. But what advantages do you think using a comic format might have over another visual kind of format like infographics or something like that?
Well, I suppose the difference being that infographics tend to be, they're really stats driven. I mean, you can try and put a story in there, but at the end of the day, it tends to be trying to get clear sort of facts in front of people to try and move your argument, whereas a comic, it'd be a strip, a single panel or entire book, is about telling a story. But it's not just the story versus like fact overload kind of situation. It's about the fact that you obviously present characters and, you know, you're sort of trying to give people something they can identify with. Because, I mean, that's something huge that sort of came out of content marketing world this year, was just trying to show people that you need to get, if you're going to tell stories, you need to get figures into those stories that your audience can relate with. You need to think of them. You need to humanize the content. As I can't pronounce his name. Is it Tony Zambito, I think? Said there needed to be a human connection. I think that's something that comics would have over visual medium like infographics. I would say, though, that like comics and videos are kind of on par, because obviously there's a lot of animated B2B videos out there, not necessarily with like cool little avatars and that running about the place, but obviously if you don't want to go for a full video, it could potentially be cheaper and easier to just get someone to draw up a comic for you after you've got a script written down.
And I think, you know, one of the things that we've found as writers as we've worked on comics is that it's a really good opportunity to use a bit of humour, which is new in B2B as well, because we didn't use humour in the old days. So it's a really nice challenge and a really nice kind of project for writers, copywriters like us, to work on, is when we have to write quite a humorous, witty comic strip. So do you think there's a good or a proper or a right way to use comics in B2B? You know, should they be standalone pieces, or can they be used in other formats as well?
I would like to think that it would be better to kind of include them with stuff rather than have them standalone, because as soon as you've got a standalone piece of content like that, you need to kind of provide a reason for people to actually go and view it. So it needs to me, it needs to form a bit of a piece of larger content, like included in the newsletter. You know, you've got a little strip that goes out, which we do. Or you might have somebody illustrating a couple of panels to go on blog posts to help give a visual, you know, explanation for a point. I remember seeing a blog post by Moz where they grabbed a comic strip to do that. Or you would have some strips appearing like an ebook so that it could explain points. I think currently in B2B, you don't want it to kind of like be completely standalone. Admittedly, we did an ebook that is obviously entirely as a comic, but it's a comic about using comics, so it's suggesting more you could sort of like use strips and that in different places.
Yeah, and also I think with that ebook, I mean, that started out as a blog post we were going to write, and then we thought, well, you know, if we're writing a blog post about how to use comics in B2B, why don't we just make it a comic? So that's how that came about. But I think that's a really good point about using comics to kind of break up the text and to illustrate points in bigger pieces.
Just to say again, obviously, you don't necessarily want to do an entire comic, especially if you're starting out like an entire comic book. But, you know, little strips, little single panels, they can make a lot of sense. And certainly as a sort of complement to web posts, imagine long blog posts and just having like the old comic strip just illustrating a point could really help break up the content there. And obviously, again, hammer home in a different way whatever message you're trying to get across. Be quite handy.
Yeah, and if you can sort of reuse those as images to post on LinkedIn, if you can get a nice bit of humour in there, a bit of topical industry humour, those are really nice shareable pieces as well. So they're quite good at the kind of awareness, brand awareness level, I guess.
I suppose there is one thing, I mean, if talking specifically about posting comics to LinkedIn, LinkedIn is funny about what image sizes it will show fully. So if you were going to, say you wanted to create like a comic that was specifically going to end up on LinkedIn, you need to carefully look at how big a pixel sized image it will show, because obviously you'll probably be looking at a single panel anyway, and B, it might have to be within sort of like certain dimensions for it to actually show clearly and translate well onto the platform.
And I guess, you know, another thing that people might be thinking is, you know, do I need to get a professional illustrator as well? Or, you know, can we make our own comics? And I think, you know, there's a whole range of options there, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, you can obviously use online, there's a few online tools out there like Pixdom. You could go my not preferred route, but I don't mind doing it, the stick figure route.
I like the stick figure route, yes.
You do like the stick figure route. Or you can obviously get an illustrator, but I would certainly say that you want to make sure that you write your own script rather than relying on your illustrator to come up with the script for you. And that if you're, you know, when you're working on dialogue on it, don't make your dialogue ridiculously long, because you have limited space to play around with in your speech bubbles, or else it's just going to go, and you just end up covering up entire panels with words, which kind of defeats the point.
Yeah. And you've written a post on that very topic.
Yes.
LinkedIn. I mean, we'll link to that in the blog post that goes with this. So we were just talking back there about some of the things that marketers would need to bear in mind or decide on if they were going to make their own comic. But, you know, if there were four or five things that marketers should bear in mind if they're just starting out with comics, what do you think they need to think about?
Well, they really need to decide whether the format is right for them. I love comics, but I don't think that everyone necessarily wants to be making them. You might find that actually what you want to get across is, perhaps if it's, you want to go visual, but you might find there's another visual format that's better. So you might need to decide whether or not you really would be better with an infographic or a video. And if you're not, and you decide that yes, a comic is the way to go, then yeah, sure, decide on that format.
And I think, you know, that there's lots of different scenarios or stories that comic formats are good for, but I think for some of them you would have to have quite a lot of existing technical skill with writing for a comic book. I mean, just thinking about that Google one that we were talking about just now, which was something like 18 page web comic on how, I think it was Chrome,
yeah,
how the Chrome browser works. Which was a really good way of making quite a technical topic accessible and digestible. But you would, I think, to be able to write something like that, you would really have to have an appreciation of how comics work and you'd have to have a really, I mean, for writers, it's often difficult to think visually. I mean, we're used to just thinking about what words we want to express to the point. If you're writing for a comic format, you have to also think about what images and visuals are going to express the point. So I think, you know, coming up with an 18-page webcomic about to explain a technical topic is not the kind of place you'd want to jump in and start as a B2B marketer. I think you'd want to start somewhere a little bit more simple and, you know, maybe just with a single frame bit of topical industry humour, and then kind of move on from there. I mean, we look in our ebook that we've done about the kind of stories that are good for comic format. So we were talking about, you know, you could do a case study like that, and we have written those ourselves at Radix for clients, or you could kind of explore an industry issue by showing characters in the situation that's affected by the industry issue. But I think, I don't know if you'd agree, that the kind of best place to start is maybe your sort of 1-3 frame humorous comic strip looking at something that's happening in your industry.
I think as long as the story you're telling is genuine, then yeah, the starting off for the sort of short form end of things would probably be best until you're comfortable with, like, it's like writing short stories or writing tweets. The shorter formats really constrain you, make you really think about how to make the best use of the space available to you, so you can quickly appreciate how getting a panel to show something with the artwork in it rather than having a character spiel off a whole load of stuff would actually be the better way to go.
Mm-hmm. And as a writer, like Twitter, it's a really good exercise in discipline. I found, because I've written quite a few comic strips, that you do have to get that story across, and you do have to get the dialogue really down to the absolute bare minimum. I think it's a nice challenge. It's a nice kind of project to work on. So, I mean, for those that are just starting out, again, how would you actually put that script together?
It's really hard to find examples of comic scripts out there, and when you do, they're quite varied in format. But just maybe look at the kind of script layout that films kind of follow, where you have, you know, like the scenes described, and then you have the dialogue, basically. So you would kind of be like, oh, this, so you would say what panel number it is, and obviously be thinking in your head it's going to be read from left to right, you know, so you'd describe the scene, say what the characters are saying. If you want to use something like captions, which are those little boxes you sometimes see in comics, which kind of describe a bit of the background, what's happening, like in, you could have, you've got an office scene happening and it might say in blah blah's office, you know, a little caption box. You'd sort of go basically in that order, because the artist needs their information first. What happens in speech bubbles and that is secondary, because that always gets added last. So you want the art first, then what's been said, and just kind of keep going in order by sort of redoing that for each panel.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I found difficult to begin with is that you can't have any kind of progression within a panel.
No,
it's like a static scene.
Yeah, it has to be a still moment in time. You do get action comics where it looks like movement has happened, but with this kind of like writing, you would basically be kind of like saying, oh, you know, so-and-so is stood doing sort of a thing, or they're in a such-and-such a pose. You could say somebody's running, but you can't have them doing anything else in that panel. They can't run and then sit down in the same panel.
And I guess, you know, we're getting towards the end of the podcast, but yeah. I guess a final thing is, you know, if you're a B2B marketer and you've decided to create a comic strip, and that's great, and you've come up with a great story and something that's really funny, and you've drawn it yourself, or you've got somebody else to draw it for you, how do you then get it out there into the world and actually get people to see it?
Again, I'd say, you know, think about your website first, think social media. We've had a little bit of success with hosting what comic strips we've done on Instagram and having it cross-post onto Twitter, and we do actually get quite a bit of engagement from those posts, which is nice. So you might want to consider doing that. And that really short scripts, I mean, forget Instagram, you know, Twitter or LinkedIn, you can just put them on there. It's an image, and those... Well, Twitter and interactions, it's been shown that, you know, if you post as an image in it, it's a high amount of interaction compared to other posts. And obviously LinkedIn starved for images.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And we've also, you know, we incorporate ours in our email newsletter as well, don't we? So that's another good way to get it out there. And again, what you were saying about images on Twitter, getting a better engagement rate, as the same goes for blogs as well, doesn't it? So if you've got a comic strip as part of your blog, or a single frame comic as part of your blog, then that's a much better way to get attention and get engagement with your blog post. So all of these topics are things that we go into in a bit more depth in our ebook that we've done. So our comics ebook in comic format on how to use comics in B2B, which is available to download, and we'll include the download link in the blog post that goes with this podcast. So that's all we've got time for this episode of the Radix Copycast. You can follow Radix on Twitter at radix.com. You'll find our website at radix-communications.com. And you can also sign up there for our monthly e-newsletter for the latest B2B copywriting tips and insights.